The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network. Geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. For more Nerdy Show podcasts, community forums, and learn how you can support this and other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Hi, I'm Bianca Del Rio from RuPaul's Drag Race Season 6, and I'm listening to Flame On Podcast. Sadly, I'm listening.
Sports go sports! I promise I really totally care who wins. If there's a net or a hoop or a hole in the ground, I hope they get it in. If they want to go to all the bases, I hope they do. If they're supposed to run past a line or whatever, I hope they do that too. Sports go sports! May they top their opponents numerically in the allotted time. Lest they disenfranchise their audience and see their revenues decline. May the partakers...
Welcome to Flame On. I'm here with our, well, 90%, 75%, 80%, somewhere in there.
Math hurts.
It does. Of our cast, we have Jeff.
Aye.
Back from a bit of a sojourn.
Sojourn, quest of sorts.
Yeah,
I don't
sort
know.
Of. Yeah.
Was this the hero's quest?
Vision quest,
did you go
yes.
into the underworld?
No, vision quest in the
Sweat Lodge.
Wrestling 80s movie sense. That kind of vision quest.
Was there a so montage?
Yes, the montage was right.
Good. Jared, of course, you hear his dulcet tones coming through loud and clear, hopefully. And of course, Oral.
I kind of sobered up for this.
Why? It's more fun when you're drunk.
Why would you do that?
I said kinda.
Okay.
There's only been a lull. It was leave my friend's place, drive over here, drinks in between.
We're glad you sobered up before you drove.
Yeah, exactly.
Drinks in between, so you're drinking on the road?
Well.
Oh, my Lord.
No, I have never.
Uh-huh. And Pat's here, too, for a little bit.
What's going on?
So we're going to jump right in. We're going to talk about some movie news, because honestly, there's not really much. Is there anything playing that anybody cares about right now?
We're kind of in a lull between the summer and then the Christmas Academy Award push.
Yeah, the autumn movies, which there are a bunch coming out, as we talked about last time, but there's nothing that anybody's seen of any significance. So, movie news-wise, and this is what you probably care about, some big comic book properties in the next, what, year or two? Bryan Singer has been confirmed for the next X-Men movie.
Which we knew as soon as we saw, like, Days of Future Past.
But honestly, I mean, Fox had a decision to make when all of that hubbub was coming out during the bad press.
The guy who was molested or
and the dropping
him.
Of the charges and all that. They could have gone either way just to save face.
But because they made a shit ton of music, whatever.
Money!
They're all the same.
Yeah.
Unless
he was allegedly, and then they dropped the charges.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Then they settled.
Somebody paid off. So that's great. We also read about, there was, of course, the video of the Millennium Falcon, which is kind of cool.
With the Batmobile?
With the Batmobile. I didn't realize that there was like a back and forth. Like, I guess Snyder had done a video. You might hear about that.
Yeah.
I didn't even realize that.
They've done Twitter pics for a long time. This was one of the first videos.
Yeah.
They had done like Snyder put up a video of a stormtrooper getting arrested in
That's
Gotham.
What it was, yeah,
I enjoyed seeing how like kind of clunky the Millennium Falcon looks, because when you look at anything of the Millennium Falcon, it kind of always looks sleek in that kind of like kind of rustic sort of way. But this has like bits and pieces hanging off of it, which I think is a really nice touch.
Well, it's an old ship at this point, right?
Well, yeah, but it was an old ship then.
Yeah, well, right, even older. Yeah, so I mean, it's a It's cool. I'm very excited about that. What was the other?
Deadpool.
Oh, of course.
I don't care. I'm just going to put that out there.
I know, because you work at a comic shop. Deadpool is like the most just...
Oversaturated character next to Wolverine.
But I mean, a movie with Ryan Reynolds, presumably, hopefully. Like, that's going to be great. I hope.
You know what? I'll tell you right now. I don't care to watch it. Like, I probably won't.
Did you play the video game?
No.
Yeah, actually, Pat bought it. It was on clearance, too. It was like the last day.
Oh, shocker.
No. Jeff gave it to me.
Jeff
and Melody
gave it
to me for my birthday.
But didn't you get it on clearance?
No, I happened to get the last copy the GameStop had.
Okay. I'm merging two things in my head.
Because they were discontinuing the print.
Yeah, that's right, because they pulled it from all platforms.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it was a fun game. It was cute. I mean, cute in a sense that it's funny.
It was adorable.
They're cursing and the boobs and things.
It is kind of fun. And I'm not a huge Deadpool fan. I like the game.
It was a beat 'em up, wasn't it?
Yeah, pretty much.
A Deadpool beat 'em up.
Yeah, it's basically a button smasher.
Yeah.
Really, it doesn't matter what you do. Like, there are combinations, and okay, if you hit this button, and then he'll do this. I sat there and just mashed buttons, and if I died, all right, restart.
But if you die, it's funny. Right. It's all jokes throughout the whole thing.
And they got Nolan North to do the voice of Deadpool. He's like the big video game voiceover guy. He did Mass Effect. He's done all these different games. He does Nathan Drake in the Uncharted series.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, I'm excited about that. And the other thing that's interesting is they pushed the Fantastic Four movie out, basically swapping their place to schedule, which kind of, I wonder, is if in response to the fact that the leaked footage of Doctor Doom and some of the casting, like it is a whole bunch of people just going, I don't know about this. So I don't know. I'm torn. It's kind of like Jason Momoa being cast as Aquaman.
I'm super excited about that. Look, just in my mind, him just coming out of the ocean.
It's a delightful image.
Hair so wet.
Have like and a he starfish.
Just tosses it back and forth.
Have like a starfish stuck to his shoulder that just kind of falls off.
Yeah.
At least he'll be fucking horses this time. Jesus.
I'm so excited.
I'm glad Carl the horse fucker is getting.
Unfortunately, that movie will never get made, so whatever.
I saw a little blurb on our former cast member Josh's new website. On a.
Q?
Who?
Some guy. On IGN.
We love
that. Talking about, I guess, how they're saying that Aquaman's going to be in a very more surfer look.
Oh, God. Are you kidding
me? Yeah.
Us for going back to Baywatch.
Jesus.
Jason Momoa, I think, was on a Baywatch. No, yeah. He was.
Baywatch Nights. Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. But anyway, Fantastic Four is being delayed, maybe retooled. Who knows?
On Deadpool, though, they also said today that they are confirming that the director says they've cracked the code on making it a PG-13.
Oh, Jesus. That's...
Yeah. They said they can retain the soul of the character and still have a PG-13.
Sure.
But they haven't shot anything, so who knows?
Well, that's all the movie news.
Wait a minute.
What?
I finally saw... So, I haven't seen the first one. And it was just like I predicted. I, under not my own power, just walked into my friend's place. They're like, sit down, we're watching this movie. And I'm like, oh, I don't know. I was like, no, sit down, you're not leaving, you're watching this movie. I finally saw The Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Oh, no.
I was so bored.
Oh.
Like, towards the end, Eric was right, just die already. Just die.
Wow.
Die.
Yeah.
That says a lot for Sinister Six. And Venom Carnage.
Yeah. Some movie news. Television. We have some very important television to talk about. First and foremost, since Pat's here, has anybody else watched Garfunkel and Oates?
No.
I've seen clips of it.
It is exactly like Fly the Conchords, but in some ways funnier because it's a little more, it's not as abstract, like, you know, Concords did some crazy stuff, but very funny. Their songs are funny. They're great. They're cute as hell. I mean, that's kind of their shtick, right? Or Lil Micucci, anyway, does the cute shtick. And raunchier than I would have expected. Like
from Comedy Central?
It's not Comedy Central. Oh, it's IFC.
Oh, so they can get away with that.
They can, but it's still like when the stuff happens, you're like, oh, all right. So, have you ever heard any of their stuff?
Yeah, no, I'm familiar with Garfunkel.
Yeah, it's if you like, I mean, they're, of course, they pattern themselves after, like, Weird Al, but really, I think closest Flight of the Conchords, sort of that just situational comedy via music.
I recognized when I saw clips of them, like, one of the members from other things as an actress.
Kate Micucci is the short brunette.
Yes.
Was on Raising Hope, she was on Scrubs, oh, there's another show that she was on that I think she had a recurring role on also. But yeah, she's done a lot of acting. I think they both actually were actors. They met during the writer's strike.
Ah, okay.
And that's where it all kind of stemmed from.
In fact, she did that. What's the actual title from the Scrubs? The Like Song?
I call it the Like Song, but
it's not called
It's
the
called
like
Fuck
song.
You. The song is called Fuck You, but it's done, and it's like, it's a really
cutesy,
kind of sweet little, like, melody.
I like you.
Because like can lead to like, and like can lead to love. Just as the stars above, I'd really like to fuck you. But at the same time, the other person is saying, like, kiss you. Mm-hmm. So it's a whole kiss and you, fuck you. And then at the end, it just goes through a list of, like...
It's kind of dark at the end.
Yeah, cut you, bruise you, fist you.
It's went off the rails at the end.
It's
and then they just
that.
Settle in harmony with... Fuck you.
It's like they really have won me over because Pat had seen their stuff online. I think I had watched one of their videos and it was like the duck song or whatever. And
well, I saw they had put in preparation for the show. They did all the video clips and like video postcards, and it was 29/31 where the one is singing about life as a 29-year-old woman and
all the potential.
Hopes and dreams and love ever after, and then the same girl. The other one is the same girl 2 years later at 31, just bitter
just
and
screaming
jaded.
About how there's nobody there, that she's all alone. It's seriously, it's great. They have a couple albums out, but if you have IFC, if you are so blessed with your cable,
or just have the internets,
and certainly they're all over YouTube too. So, now let's talk about Doctor Who.
I am one episode behind. I haven't seen Time House.
Get out!
I haven't seen it either.
I was going to watch it today, but I didn't
get
around to it.
We won't spoil anything.
But that's my favorite one so far this season.
Right, that's what we talked about today.
I'm going to watch it later on tonight.
It is good. It is very different. It is very... It's a heist. It's Ocean's 11. It's all that stuff. But with, obviously, Doctor Who sort of spin on it. And the chick from... Oh, I can never think of her name. She was in Ashes to Ashes as the police officer.
Achilles, the sequel to Life on Mars.
Yeah. She's the sort of quote unquote villain, and she's amazing. I love her. She did a great job. But we can talk about Listen, because we've actually recorded. I think we didn't even talk about Robin Sherwood. Yeah, we have a couple we can talk about.
Yeah.
So, Sherwood, or
Robots of Sherwood.
I felt like that was the weakest one so far. It's okay.
You know, it is okay, but I liked it. Like,
it's cute.
It was an episode. It wasn't boring to me. Like, you know, I like when they do period pieces, and they never have done Robin Hood. So
which
I was
kind of surprising, right?
Yeah, I'm just like, oh, okay, I'll roll with this.
But what was brave of them is they didn't go, like, authentic, quote-unquote, like, where the legend comes from. They actually just played up the full-on Errol Flynn, Kevin Costner version of Robin Hood.
I felt it was almost like... Robin Hood, Men in Tights, Robin Hood.
Yeah, I mean, borderline.
Which I like.
If they had broken out into song, I would have
Call
loved it.
Call the locksmith. Call the locksmith.
Hey, Blinken. But I mean...
I was surprised that they actually played up the idea that the Doctor didn't realize that he was an actual person. He had never actually gone back to that point in time and seen that, oh yeah, he really exists. Like, oh, you're... Because the entire episode, the shtick was he was trying to figure out how... what Robin Hood was. Was
right.
He a robot? Was he a clone? Was he some kind of weird creature that is mimicking? And at the end, he's like, "What? Can't you just acknowledge that I'm existed?" Or it's, you know, he said that it's sad that he's been, you know, it's been so long that his legend has basically turned him into a myth or just a story.
Yeah. I do like that this Doctor is fallible. Like, not only is he wrong and doesn't know about stuff, but, like, he really... needs the companions this time. Not that he hasn't always in some way.
He's kind of a prick.
He's a lot of a prick, which I also love, because, you know, it's the guy from that political show.
Yeah.
The Thick of It?
The Thick of It, or the In the Loop.
Yeah.
I can't think of the character's name.
Malcolm,
thank you. But, you know, he's got this great attitude. I love Listen, because to me... I mean, not only was it sort of a Stephen Moffat sort of timey-wimey kind of thing that they did, but it played with the mischievous side of the Doctor, which I love, you know, where he's basically, like, having people do things to try to see what happens. And then he'll, like, full-on just, like, play, like, not a prank, but, like, he took the guy's coffee after he basically said, oh, have you ever put your coffee down and then you didn't know where it was? And yeah. He just takes the guy's coffee. Like, I thought that was really funny. And, he, you know, anyway. I do feel that Capaldi is kind of coming into his own. Like, he does now have sort of a nice established sort of approach on the Doctor. But even when I go back and watch, like, Deep Breath and Into the Dalek, like, they're very good on rewatch. Like, they both, I think, hold up.
For me, it's too early to start rewatching.
Oh,
I think for most people it is.
When an episode airs, okay,
Brian likes to dissect.
Not only do I watch it the night it airs, usually, if I can, like okay. if we have something or whatever, but I'll then watch it the next day. And then the way it's lined up with my travel, like I'll have days where I'm, you know, I'll need to watch something while I'm on travel. I'll be bored. So I'll watch it then. I'll have it on Amazon or whatever.
He can't catch up on Game of Thrones, so we can watch season 4 together, because I've been waiting on this.
Really? Yes, just leave him.
No.
Actually, I mean, you gotta make it till April, so.
I know, but once I start, I don't want to stop.
I feel that my experience of Doctor Who, it gets better with mileage. The more I watch certain episodes, the more I really
You're
appreciate
stalling,
stuff.
Bitch. No, You're stalling.
I do need to watch Game of Thrones.
I just enjoy the fact that Capaldi's catchphrase seems to be "shut up,
shut up, shut it up, up, up," which is great. And, you know, and and that's something I think the "shut up" thing has come from an older doctor too. Hmm. Like somebody else did it. I want to say Matt Smith, but it's probably a Moffat thing. But did you guys like the whole Gallifrey, all that stuff? Like, did you? Or
nice.
Whatever it was, wherever it was. This is where the internet, you know, is cracked in half, because he's like, he can't go back to the doctor's home, you know, village, because, you know, Gallifrey's time-locked or whatever. And it's like, well,
I don't think they're time-locked anymore.
Well, but they're in an alternate dimension. Like, it's a little, like, bendy-wendy or whatever.
Well,
it's
they'll figure it out.
Bendy-wendy.
There's a new one from Moffat.
Bendy-wendy.
Timey-wimey. Bendy-wendy.
Bendy-wendy sounds like a cheap prostitute.
It really does.
I was thinking a kid's toy.
Or a stripper. Coming to the stage, it's Bendy-wendy. Get your dollar bills ready.
I like that, too. No, it is very nice that Clara had that influence on him as a young man or boy or whatever. So, I don't know. I thought it was cute. I liked it.
I feel a little disheartened with Clara this time around.
No, she's different, and it's good. A lot of people who didn't like her before because they thought she was just a prop, a mystery to be solved is the big criticism. She's very, like, self-actualized, doing her own thing, helping the doctor, saving the doctor.
Helps that they've killed any kind of romantic thing, because that was the flaw that Amy had at the beginning. It was like, okay, so she's just going to fawn over the doctor and carry this crush the whole time. With Clara in the first episode, it was, no, knock that off.
Yeah.
We're not like that.
Yeah.
That was former me. This is new me.
Well, and I like that the doctor's like, I'm not saying you were wrong about it.
Yeah, it's not your mistake.
Yeah, it was
right.
Not your mistake. Yeah, and that was very telling. But I do feel, however, what they're setting up is a sort of a love triangle, not in the sense of like a relationship, but the doctor is clearly going to be jealous of
Danny.
Of Danny. Because they're even showing in the next preview. It's a preview of another episode that's coming up. The doctor goes to the school they work at.
Okay.
That's it.
But they've also said that he's the next companion after
No, Clara. That's not clear either.
He's joining. Well, they've said that he's joining.
He is a companion in some way, but there is evidently also still some big thing about him that could change a lot of whatever. So it is unclear, A, if Clara is leaving, B, if Danny is...
I thought they said her contract is up after the Christmas special.
Yeah, she's leaving.
Special.
It is unconfirmed. Now, I'm not saying you're wrong, but they've been very coy about the announcements. We do know that they're on the Christmas special, so that much at least we know. All right.
He's holding out hope.
I did also want to mention, because I don't remember if I did before, Gravity Falls is back. Did anybody else watch any of it?
No.
I don't care.
It's fun. It's so cute. If you like Adventure, do you like Adventure Time?
No, I hate Adventure Time. You know what's really good for me? Rick and Morty.
Oh, that's right.
Because
I
don't like the pretense of
getting deja vu.
Yeah,
we've done this.
We did
before.
Have done this.
We've done this.
I don't
before.
Care.
Well, I'm reminding the audience, Gravity Falls is back, and it is very, it's very fun. Even Pat, I think, enjoys it sometimes a little bit. Well, when what's her name shows up, Coolidge, old one eye, the waitress.
Oh, from American Pie.
You like her.
She uses the same accent she does in Two Broke Girls.
Well, of course she does.
And that accent drives me up a wall. I enjoy Two Broke Girls, and I understand her, like, addition to the show as comedic effect, and I like the one-liners. I hate that accent.
No.
I hate that version of the Polish accent that just...
Is that what she's doing?
Because her character is Polish.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Because she does use that a lot, in a lot of different things.
But all I've known her from was American Pie, and she didn't. Like, so that's why when I saw her on Two Broke Girls, I was like, that's
she
just weird.
She did it in Legally Blonde.
Oh.
Yeah, she was also on Legion.
And I don't remember if she did that in Best in Show or not, but I think she was. It was close. Anyway.
Huh.
But it's fun. And then, Patton came on. He was on an episode as a gnome on like a mini golf course.
Yeah.
Also, speaking of Patton, I wonder if he. I mean, we don't know. I assume he'll be back in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in the new season.
I haven't watched this.
His twin came back at the end of season one.
Right.
So.
So, like, that starts tomorrow night. We're recording on Monday.
Director Coulson has a. He's an advisor.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. I love that he's there. I did just watch the season of Justified that he shows up in, which is pretty awesome.
And apparently next season is the last season.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Justified?
Yeah.
They announced some casting. They got Sam Shepard.
Oh.
And, do you remember the guy who played two different characters on Deadwood, who played the one in the first season who kills Wild Bill, and then he comes back later on as the guy who works for Hearst, who likes to kill hookers?
Yeah.
He was also in Raising Hope.
Oh,
as the main,
yeah. Okay,
they cast him on the show too. He's going to be like, I guess, the big heavy villain for the last season of Justified. Garrett Dillahunt.
Yes.
There you go.
Is Raising Hope over?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know.
Yeah, they canceled it.
Pretty good show.
Mid-season.
Heard it was good.
The middle's coming back though, right?
Middle, yeah. We've got Gotham premieres tonight while we're recording. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is tomorrow. The middle's on Wednesday.
Then, I forgot. God.
Are there any other TV shows we're excited about? I actually am excited about Selfie, only because I love.
Did you watch the pilot finally?
No.
It was on Hulu. They previewed it.
Oh no, I didn't know.
Yeah, it's good.
I think
John
be...
Cho does good actually.
Yeah,
John Cho is
I
one of the better points.
But I'm not gonna watch. I love the both of them. I don't care.
I don't know
premise.
If it's a show I will follow religiously, but I will definitely check it out.
A lot of these pilots have went up on Hulu for a limited time. To watch before they aired, because it was another one, Forever, was on Hulu also.
I heard that was put up.
Was that good? Did anybody know?
I didn't watch it.
I love Yoan Griffith.
I thought Melody watched it.
I missed them all. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, they all went down, I think, last week to get ready for premiere week. Yeah.
Still haven't watched Flash, even though it leaked months ago.
Oh, I do want to watch it, too.
Still, like, Constantine.
All the CW shows come out in the beginning of October.
Yeah, a lot of these shows. A couple of them are debuting now. A few debut next week, and then I think October is really when they're going to start hitting. A to Z is October 2nd, and Cougar Town's coming back for its final season, sixth and final season in probably
and
February.
And then a movie? No?
Six seasons and a movie.
No.
This season, I think one of the things that I'm most excited about. You know, outside of comic book stuff, because everybody knows you gotta watch at least one episode, and you're like, eh, whatever. Scandal. I love Scandal. I'm a huge Scandal fan now, because I watched it over the break with a friend of mine. Fitz is completely worthless. And the new Shonda Rhimes series, How to Get Away with Murder, I will not be watching it. I want to, but I can't do it. Because Shonda Rhimes just leads you down this path and then emotionally violates you and leaves you curled up just screaming, I didn't mean that, Shonda! Shonda, I didn't mean that!
The worst I ever saw she did that shit with was the airplane crash on Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah.
That was just fucked up.
I can't do it, Shonda Rhimes. You got me with Scandal, and I'm with you to the bitter end, but I refuse to get hooked again. Ain't gonna do it.
Well, on my list, and this has already been aired, Left Behind.
You like Kirk Cameron or Nicolas Cage version?
But it's similar, like HBO show.
Leftovers.
Leftovers. I need to watch that.
Okay. Everybody complained that the show was dark and depressing, and it was. But it had a hell of a season finale.
Yeah.
It was a good, like, watching the season finale as a whole, looking back at the rest of the season, it's a great show.
Well, I didn't even know what it was, and all I kept seeing was something about Justin Theroux and jogging, and he has a big penis, and I was like,
thanks,
okay,
Liv Tyler,
this is interesting.
For that soundbite.
I don't know what this is about. But it's basically a post-rapture world, kind of like Left Behind, and they're trying...
But not as crazy.
Beat you over the head, yeah.
Right, it's more of just, okay, in a normal world that's not, you know, God and the devil fighting for your soul. It's just, what if 2% of the world's population just up and vanished one day?
Yeah.
In the middle of an afternoon, just gone.
Which,
how would the rest of the world deal with it?
So, I'm very excited. Damon Lindelof, of course, from Lost.
Damon Lindelof?
Yeah. What did I say, David?
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I'm just about that. Now, did you watch Halt and Catch Fire yet?
Yeah, I finished the season.
We will still have another microsode. I think we're going to dig in a bit more on some of the shows, but
for the four people out there that actually care to hear about this,
I will tell you, I am gay for Lee Pace now.
Right?
Holy shit! I did not think.
See, I like that American Psycho aesthetic going.
I want to know how they can get him on Hannibal. What character he needs to play on Hannibal?
That would be, and he knows Fuller. Like,
listeners, I apologize for Brian and Jeff talking about boring TV that nobody cares about.
Oh my god!
Holy shit!
Let's just talk about.
I will cut you with this bottle.
You know, one Archer will come back one day.
Then I can be called ISIS. American, that's for damn sure.
American Dad is coming back for a brand new season.
On
Who's
TBS?
Excited about that? Yeah, I'm also really excited for Bob's Burgers return. And so, you know, let's leave it at that, because we've been on TV for a while, and I've only cared about 3% of what you talk about.
We're trying to expose you to new and amazing television.
Oh, but no question. So, Archer, what will they call the organization? Because they can't call it ISIS.
I thought the last season it wasn't really ISIS anyway. They're doing, like, this weird Vice.
Archer Vice, that was hilarious. That was one of the best seasons. For a comedy that I have ever seen from beginning to end.
But they reset it back to the whole spy thing at the end.
Yeah.
Oh, they did? Okay.
Yeah.
I see. I'm way behind.
Moving on.
Now, speaking of Hannibal, though, one of my music picks, because I actually have been getting new music, they released the soundtrack.
That's gotta be pretty good.
Seasons 1 and 2. Well, they released season 1, and there's 2 volumes. And I have both of them. Now, I will say, the music by Brian Reitzel, who I actually have his album as well, it's been pretty good. It is very ambient. It is very soundtrack. But it is not like beat you over the head
what
movie
are we talking
score.
About?
The soundtrack to a TV show.
Yes, that he hasn't announced yet.
What?
Huh?
It's
Hannibal.
He hasn't.
I'm
Hannibal.
Talking about what I already own.
Talking about Hannibal
I'm
still.
To.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
And, girl, pay attention.
It was you're talking about it was so ambient that I put Oral to sleep.
Seriously. So I recommend it if you were a fan of the show and you did enjoy some of the more atmospheric stuff, but be warned that the tracks are like 10 minutes long and they go from crazy, weird, static craziness to like more ambient Japanese.
And
stuff.
2 has a good Japanese feel to it. Season 2 had a good
Japanese
feel.
Both of them,
thing.
They're very, yeah, but 2, you're right, because they named each episode after a Japanese dish.
Yes.
So anyway. That's out. If you didn't know about it, they're limited run, so.
Last thing about TV while I'm still here, because I've got to go to work. TV. Well, Oral will enjoy this. Sailor Moon Crystal.
Oh, that's right. We've been watching that.
I don't know how we're going to get the rest of these 26 episodes. We're on what, episode 5 or 6? Something along those lines.
The Jupiter episode was the last one.
No,
right?
The first of apparently 2 Tuxedo Mask episodes. You missed it.
When
this
did that
past,
happen?
This past Saturday. It was the third Saturday. First and third Saturday of the month. New episode of Crystal.
I was totally watching it. I looked in the wrong place. I got it.
So this episode is the first one where, they dig into Momoro's past.
Uh-huh.
And I was amazed because, well, first off, we're going to breakneck speed. They're almost caught up to where watching the first season, the original, where I'm up to now. Like, Venus is popping up in 2 episodes. They showed her. She was over in the shadows at the end of this episode.
With Artemis.
With Artemis.
I know these things.
Shut up, I love Artemis. Don't roll your eyes, Oral. Don't roll your eyes.
We're Odin like Artemis, and Pat's going to be Sailor V.
No.
That's what Odin said.
Fat, hairy Sailor V.
Listen.
So we're at the 6th episode, but the thing I was most amazed at, because now watching, like I said, I'm fairly caught up between the 2 of them, is that he actually is smart and knows who the fuck Usagi is.
Shocker.
I'm like, wait a minute. Somebody actually paid attention to the fact
that
but the fact that he calls her out, but then she says, I'm the leader of the group, and then goes, oh, you knew who I was? Bitch, you just told him 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
But then when she gets hurt and she does the whole healing escalation because Queen Beryl comes out the sky.
Oh,
it's crazy.
Healing escalation already? Oh, yeah, because the last season, the Moonstick is it. Yeah.
Well, the Moonstick is there, but then Queen Beryl comes out. They actually had a fight scene. Because you know how normally it's like, okay, enemy. All right, transform. Okay, superpower, superpower, superpower. Mm. All right, tiara, boom. This one, Usagi's off in a whole other fucking place, being, you know, sad and depressed about her life. And then they're actually, like, jumping up and
throwing
fireballs.
At each other.
It's like
green
balls,
red
blue
balls,
red balls.
It's like balls everywhere. It's great.
Does somebody say, well, I can't have any balls thrown at my face?
No.
And then somebody replies, well, there goes your social life.
Oh. Clueless.
Thank you. Thank you.
I got it.
So it's actually pretty cool, but then, so now they've found out each other, and now we're getting into, like, I guess they're doing the Rainbow Crystals piece of it. I don't know if that was part of the original.
I don't think so.
But we...
No, it wasn't.
Okay, so no Rainbow Crystals. In the original, we're up to that part already.
Yeah.
6 episodes in. The next one, I guess, is about him getting his memories back about being Endymion and all of that. But that was like 30 episodes into the original. That's episode 6 or 7 in this one. And this is 26 episodes long. What are they doing for the rest of this time? Is it a really long battle before they die?
Yeah, it could be like Dragon Ball.
Lots of
buildup.
I don't even know if that's going to be how it ends this time around.
That's what this crystal thing. It's the all killer, no filler.
Yeah.
They take out all that filler bullshit and it just get to the story.
Because I've heard a little bit of that and I just go...
I know, yeah, I'm just waiting for, like, it got really action-packed as we finished up the Rainbow Crystals. Tuxedo Mask was killed. Silver Crystal. Okay, they're all there. Okay, Sailor Venus is here. And now it's back to filler episodes for the next, like, 4.
What, they killed Tuxedo Mask?
Oh, he's back.
Oh, all right.
Sailor Moon cried.
People die.
Sailor Moon cried on him. The Rainbow Crystals came together. Silver Crystal.
Is the guy, the director, and I can't think of his name, who did Sailor Moon, is he doing these new ones? Do we know?
I don't know.
Because he also did Utena. And I want to see Utena.
Oh, here we go again. This has happened before.
Utena.
Utena.
Girl. You study Asian culture in school.
I know, but nobody calls it Utena. What it's Utena.
They say Utena? It's like a soft
it? It's a Utena because, you know, we're American and everyone just calls it Utena.
Oh, but you're saying Americans say it like that.
Move on, for the love of Christ!
How do the motherfucking Nihonjin say it?
Somebody bring up card captors.
Well, that was my next thing.
Sakura.
I would love to see...
God, Captain Sakura.
I would love to see modern retelling of both stories. But
I apologize, everybody.
This is an anime segment. We never do this. And you're into anime, both of you.
We did this 2 podcasts ago.
Yeah, if you want to talk about anime, I'll tell you what I'm watching. Please watching Naruto Shippuden because I hate my life.
Seriously, you really must.
Yeah.
I gave up on that show.
I'm watching Sword Art Online.
I love that show.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
I still have issues that...
Well, are you on season 1 or season 2?
Season 2. I'm caught up.
Watching America Online? What?
Sword Art Online.
What is this about?
It's a show about an MMO where it's a virtual reality system, people, right. And the so first season's premise is a bunch of people go into the show.
Summer Wars? I mean, it sounds like...
Well, they go into this MMO and then the guy who actually created it has made a hack where nobody can leave, and if you die in the MMO, you die in real life.
Oh, it's Kid Chameleon. Okay.
This sounds familiar, yeah. I want something like Ghost in the Shell.
Can you know what? It gives you that existential sort of feel.
A little.
But is it zany and kind of wacky?
It's not
zany.
No, it's very serious. It's very bleak at some aspects, because like, people, like, when you die, you die. That's it. And there's no escape unless you clear the game. Huh. It's 100 levels, and all this fucked up shit happens, but, like, time progresses for them.
Okay.
So it's been, like, at one point you realize it's been more than a week or two or months. You know, it's been years that they're in this game, and they can't get out.
And some people, like, if they don't get discovered in time, like, they deal with certain people, spoiler alert for season 1, some people manage to escape. And they show this is what they've been like. Their muscles are actually, it's basically like they've been in a coma for that whole time. And if they weren't sent to the hospital and taken care of, then they could
have starved to death.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So they talk about that. I was pleasantly surprised with how good the first season was. I'm like 2 or 3 episodes into the second season.
Until the whole walks into the light. I'm like, that's a perfect ending.
These
past 8 episodes were terrible. But you know what? I like this. This is good. Where we're at now is a nice fit. It's not as great as it started.
Right. It can't recapture that magic. Mm-mm.
Do you think I would like Kill la Kill?
I refuse to watch
people
it.
It's a little over the top.
Yeah, like I was recommended.
The nudist colony and some other
What's great about the show is that it does fan service very well, and it does it for both camps. It's not just for ladies and dudes.
Because first episode is just, here's your costume. String, bikini, giving everything away.
The professor, he's so just, hey.
Yeah, yeah. I was recommended the show, and I've watched the first 4 or 5 episodes. It's hard if you're not in the right frame of mind.
Well, and that's why Gurren Lagann is not locked in with me. Yeah. It was just ridiculous.
I went from Sword Art, and I tried to watch Kill la Kill right after that. It's like, no.
It's a hard transition
I'm still depressed.
No, I've seen enough Bara artwork to enjoy Kill la Kill, yeah. So I'm good.
Oh, all right. Oh, maybe
okay,
I'll
what's the premise, Jared?
It's...
A city that has a fight academy?
Yes, it's a young lady. She's I guess, transferred there. And there's this very strict hierarchy of students. You know, you have the
student body president
is the top of the chain. She is the one in control and command. Yeah. She holds sway over everybody, including the
like
faculty. Yeah.
But at the same point, the whole school is based on fighting skills. And they have these costumes that are, and they make the Dragon Ball Z, I think it's like a Saiyan level reference. There's some kind of magic fiber in the costumes that gives them superpowers for their fighting. And the way you increase your stature is by you're proving that you're stronger.
Uh-huh.
And this girl who's the hero, she's the transfer student, she finds this one kind of costume that nobody else has. And it's almost like a vampiric costume because it craves blood.
Oh.
But it's all over the top, silly.
Yeah.
But it's like those big fights you used to see on Dragon Ball where like one punch can break a planet, except it's all done.
It's in the same vein as, what the hell was that series called?
Oh, a Fooly Cooly?
Not Fooly Cooly, but same one I'm thinking of.
I do like Fooly Cooly.
Thinking of, it's gonna drive me nuts.
What's the theme?
It's two girls, one's super crazy, the other one's really, like, calm.
Project Aika?
No. Anyways.
So, okay. But, I mean, I might give it a shot. Yeah. I've been kind of looking for another anime. I do want to watch the Ghost in the Shell prequel about Kitsune Aragi. I have to check that out if it's out. And, of course, some more Miyazaki is coming out on Blu-ray soon. Kiki's and...
So, When Dolls Arise ever come out on Blu-ray?
Not here yet. But ever in Japan. And then, of course, Ava, for whatever the hell the next one is, I assume will be coming out soon.
Excel Saga.
Excel Saga.
Oh,
yes.
Okay. I never watched that, but I was interested.
I don't need another Ava series. I'm good.
But have you seen the new movies? They're crazy.
I'm good. You know what I really
The show broke you?
Razaphon.
Yeah.
See, I like Razaphon, too, even though it's... Totally like an Ava cover song.
It had the same kind of a mindfuck ending.
Yeah, for me.
But it had a little
bit
more
better,
of a...
It was better than Ava.
Through line?
Well, yeah, I said it. I say it again. Yes, you listening. I said it and I say it again. I like Razaphon more than Ava.
I like both, but I like Razaphon a lot. I like the music a lot, actually, because Yoko Kanno.
Yes, I'm
I'm saying it for the listeners. I know you know.
My friend's desperate for an anime to the point that he's actually going to start watching One Piece.
Oh.
Just because he's like, I'm never going to run out.
Oh.
I got lots to watch.
So not good. All right. Well, let's move on. Instead of doing gay news this episode, we're going to be changing up the format a little bit over the next few full cast recordings. And in this way, it is kind of a gay issue, but it's not really. Many of you who follow us and know drag queens and drag is the new spandex, anything like that, you have probably seen the Facebook decision to no longer allow fictitious names that are not registered legally in the state that they're operating out of.
So Facebook pulled a Google?
Yeah, basically this is what Google's been doing for a while.
Yeah.
You know, it's a move towards authenticity, but I don't understand why they're doing it. Like,
right.
Does anybody know, like, why have we asked that question?
Well, what's his name?
Zuckerberg.
He seems to have a philosophical, at least, explanation for it, which is basically we are coming out of the era where people had anonymity and people had aliases, and we are now in an era where if you're on Facebook, it's you. It's your representation.
So we're entering into an era of accountability.
Yeah. And part of it's...
Especially for commenters and trolls and shit like that.
Right, and this is where I am more sensitive because I've dealt with some online harassment issues with my fraternity. And having a level of indirection or level of, you know, anonymity, even if it's just a username that you'd have to then look up.
Right.
It can be something a little more, it will hold you accountable, like you said, if you know your name is on it. But drag queens, and several of our good friends that are drag queens, they have personal accounts, both for them, their own personal lives as a boy or whatever, and they have their personal accounts for their drag name. One of them being Divine Grace, who we had on one of the...
I love you!
Which we absolutely love. We just had dinner with her the other night. It was delightful, amazing meal, great...
I never get invited to these things.
If you hang out more often. No, I'm just kidding. That was basically what she said to say, too. But no, she felt very strongly about this being sort of taking the approach that this is sort of targeting performers, and it's inconsistent with more public celebrities who have gone by fictitious names for years, but that's what everybody knows them as.
Right.
And that this approach now, taking these different pages out that are functioning quite fine and are not harassing. I mean, you know, it's not in this case about harassment, but rather sort of protection from their people who might want to do them harm or whatever. Because there are drag queens out there who are very comfortable with you knowing boy, them, or, you know, drag person or drag persona. But then there are those that absolutely want the two completely divorced and would not want to have a public presence as a boy. Or as a man.
So here's a question. Because, like, you know, we have a Facebook page for Flame On.
Right. But we have a page. These are accounts. These are, like, profiles.
But so that's the thing.
Right.
Would a drag queen then be able to open a page as their professional moniker?
Absolutely. And this is where there's even some in the drag community, including Mimi M. First and some other people we know, who are like, guys, all you have to do is make a page.
Right.
The problem with the page, and Facebook has intentionally broken this. We have a problem with this. Even if you like our page, that doesn't mean you're going to see everything we put up. There is this weird algorithm that they use that you can actually tweak by paying Facebook money to have your posts show up more often. Or encouraging your fans, which, by the way, we're encouraging you, if you have not done this already, to go in and add us as a page in your likes or interests. Not just like the page, but go in and actually add it in there. Because that will then increase the chance that you're actually going to see. You can just turn notifications on, which is another one. But basically, this Facebook model where even though you have this page, you're not going to see all their posts. Now, the personal profile thing is similar, though, because if you don't interact with somebody, I don't know if you guys have ever noticed this on Facebook. If you don't interact with somebody, like chat with them or post stuff on their wall or whatever,
mm-hmm.
you're not going to see their posts after a while. They're going to try to drop off.
And right.
This is in part so that people who have, you know, hundreds or thousands or whatever of friends, you can't have every post from everybody and keep up. So Facebook says this is an attempt to sort of cull the herd. Be that as it may, the drag queens are not happy about the fact that they have to change anything that they're doing. And other people, not just drag queens, are complaining about this. But there has been a lot of attention around drag queens and Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, who likewise have a persona. In some cases, in fact, a friend of ours, Kenya Knott from the Orlando chapter, has no personal profile, only has her Facebook page. So, like, because he does not want his public life as a boy to be out there. He prefers to do everything through his sister's profile. So it's a lot of confusion with identity and what that means to you. For some people, for me, my identity is me. I don't have this alter ego that is Flame On Brian. I have just Brian. And everybody who knows me, and that's it. Like, that's me.
Right.
But some people are more comfortable because they've either had problems in the past or what have you, where they want that level of protection. They want to have that distance between their performer selves and their... So that's the issue. I've certainly talked enough about this. Oral is doing some research, I believe, on his phone. But do you guys have any... like different thoughts about this that you like
to... Well, I can relate personal experiences, at least relating to this anyways. For a while, I've been wanting to try to at least go by some other moniker, like Joshua Party Poison.
Joshua Locke.
Joshua Locke. My sincerest apologies. But...
some guy.
But... I want to be able to be my own person. I don't want to be able to say, hey, not only am I a digital media artist and a scholar, but I'm also a smut peddler. But my family's found problems with the smut peddling because it's something I'm very passionate about, and I'm not ashamed of it in the slightest, but because they alienate me because of that, that brings a lot of tension and anxiety with me. So that's what drives me to want to have an alias, but I want to be able to maintain myself as one singular entity.
I am not creative in the sense where I, you know, produce music or like literature. So I feel like I don't have a vested interest in this debate. However, being a reader, like I believe in the power of a pseudonym.
Right.
I like that sense that, you know, this is the me that I want to portray for better or for ill. And to take that away, I kind of have issues with, like, I'm not vehement about it. I just like, I think it's, I see what, you know, the move might be trying to accomplish. It's just sad to see this aspect kind of get trampled because of it. Like, you know, like my name is Oral. Like I would, if I were to be like a personality, I would go by Oral. There's just no.
That's too good of a name not to
use. Yeah. Exactly. But you know, if my name was like Dean, like I would totally want to go by something else.
You look like a Dean.
No offense to Dean Tripp whatsoever.
I know, we love Dean Tripp.
Yeah,
although his son would have a problem on Facebook because Dean Tripp's son is named Field. Yes.
Kind of hilarious.
That's Field North, that's Tripp. Northwest yeah. material.
It is. Yeah. It really is. So my only thing is, and I'll jump into this real quick. I understand, I empathize, and I agree that you shouldn't be forced to have to. I had a friend on Facebook have to go back to his actual first name because he went by his initials. He went by DJ, and they made him change it to Derek.
Oh, so has this change already gone through?
And... Oh, it's been going on. Mm-hmm. It's been going on. So I don't agree with how strict it is. The part where I get a little upset about this, and I'll take heat for it. Feel free to email me. Is
pat@flameonshow.com.
Exactly.
Not me though.
Oral@flameonshow.com.
I haven't stated my opinion as of yet.
Jeff@flameonshow.com.
My issue is with it trying to be put out there as an LGBT discrimination issue. It's not. I understand that the drag queens are highly affected because that is their persona. I get that the sisters are affected because that's their persona. But this isn't an LGBT. This isn't a trans issue. This is a policy that should be in place, but is being enforced in such a way that it feels very heavy-handed.
It's throwing the baby out with the bathwater.
Exactly. There should be ways to compromise. If you're going to use a fake name, you should have to put in, when you sign up, or make everybody go through this again to sign in, put your real name in, and then what is going to be your handle on Facebook. If it's your regular name, great. But then that way they have the accountability. If there's cyberbullying, if there's any of this stuff that they're trying to prevent, then they have your actual name. But that may not be the name that gets put out there. And then that goes in that crazy cloud of data.
Well, you know what's funny? Video game servers like Steam or PlayStation Network do this already.
Yeah.
You put in a username.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
If you want to display your actual name, you can. If you want to uncheck that box, you're just your username. Yeah. But the information is there.
See, and I wonder if any of this is motivated. We were talking about what the reason was. Advertisement.
Yeah.
They don't want, this is a speculation, by the way, they don't want personas that may or may not have their own advertising value. They want
hard data.
Hard data, people who they can target.
Well, the thing, it all stems from trying to eliminate fake profiles.
Right.
And multiple profiles. So when you've got 7 billion right. users and 3.5 of them are second profiles for the same people, you really only have 3.5 billion people.
Right.
And then your marketing is skewed because it is a company. It's a public company. They need the advertising dollars. They need it marketed to the right people. So it is part of that. But it doesn't matter if you are a straight porn actor, a gay porn actor, a musician.
Yeah, this is not just the reason why it's not an LGBT issue is because this is a performer
Exactly.
Thing. Exactly. This should not be something that somebody can spearhead and go, well, they're persecuting us. Like, it's any performer.
No, and that's, and I will stand behind any LGBT crusade that's proper, but honestly, like, and I've kept my mouth shut on Facebook about it because all these debates pop up on my friends' profiles, and you have things like, in Florida, it costs $50 to file a legal, alias paperwork, and then that becomes your legal name. You've got paperwork. Addison Taylor, I heard the other night talking about it. Addison is her legal, it's a legal alias. So no matter what, that's a proper legal name for, mm-hmm. for Addison. Addison doesn't have to worry about this. There were a couple of other people that I know through friends of mine that this topic came up and it was like, I filed that paperwork.
Yeah.
So that's basically as good as my driver's license.
So there you go.
So this can affect anybody. If you're using any name that's not your own, somebody reports it. Straight, gay, transgender, bisexual,
horse fucker,
howler monkey,
Khal Drogo,
it could
call
be whatever.
That.
If somebody reports it, then it's you know, they're gonna make you, they're gonna block you out, and they're gonna make you put in your real name. And if they question it, still, they'll make you fax over a copy of your driver's license to unblock your profile. And if you don't do it within 2 weeks, then they delete it all.
I'm kind of surprised they delete profiles too, because I thought even if you left Facebook and come back later,
if you leave, they'll keep it.
Unless you tell them to delete.
But
because they want you to come back.
I'm surprised they would just...
Basically, the difference is you can suspend a profile or you can hard delete a profile. Hmm. Whether or not they keep it on record is something different. Like, when I came back, everything that I had before on my old profile, right back, no, it didn't.
No?
No.
Oh.
There's nothing there.
Oh, wow.
From when I restarted.
Oh, thought it was.
No. Nothing's there.
Well, all right then. So consensus is
honestly, I think this is just the necessary next step in internet accountability, which has needed to happen for a long time.
Well, and if you really want the anonymity or you want that performer, you want something different. Facebook came after MySpace.
Nobody's going back to MySpace, bitch.
I'm not saying we should go back to MySpace. I'm not even saying we should go to Google Plus because obviously Google has the same policy.
I'm not familiar with that term.
Google Plus
they have Hangouts. I don't know what those are.
I think that the internet is a dynamic medium. If people are not happy with the service they're getting, you can move.
But the thing that people need to understand, especially as we go forward with the internet, and more things keep coming out, more ways to keep track of all your information, more ways to make life easier, is that when you put something on the internet, it is not vapor. It is a hard written thing. If you put a comment on something,
it will haunt you to the end of your days.
They will find it. If they do, this is just, it's accountability that people have for the years leading up to this have just thought, no big deal. I can type what I want. I'm never going to be held accountable for it.
That is no longer the case.
Yes.
All right. For the fun part of our show now, after we've had a relatively meaty discussion about deep issues of our time. We're talking about comic books.
All right, so that means I'm going to sleep.
So this is going to become the Brian and Oral conversation.
Oh, for fuck's sake, we'll keep it short.
I mean, honestly, I don't even have a lot on my list. I did want to just touch on Future's End. I have been buying a few. I know Oral in his capacity, where he has to review and know about what people should buy.
Tuesdays are the bane of my existence.
Has been reading all of them, or most of them. What has been your favorite? So for those of you don't know, Futures End is the DC event for September, as is tradition now. They do some crazy-ass cover. Lately, it's been, what, 3D?
No,
multi?
It's two separate things. They just happen to...
Well, last year, it was villains.
It was villains.
And they did the little titlenticular whatever.
So right now, we're going through Futures and, like, Swamp Thing or whatever, where all of the solo books, for the most part, in DC, are jumping 5 years into the future to catch up with Futures End, which is the weekly series.
Right.
And so they're doing all of these, like, 3D covers where it's, like, present, future. Present, future. Yeah. And just like the villains' titles, some of them are great. Some of them are good. Some of them are okay. Some of them just suck.
Well, and what's funny is the ones that you read that are written by the series writers, which are very few and far between, they're pretty good. They're consistent with the series.
Agreed.
The ones you have written by the stringers, the ones who are otherwise sort of in between.
Trying to claw their way into.
They can be good. They're not necessarily guaranteed to be bad by any means, but a lot of times they're kind of rough. What I was fascinated by is Charles Soule.
Mm-hmm.
Not only did he do a great Swamp Thing.
Oh, I love that Swamp Thing issue.
It was great. It tied into everything, and he's writing Swamp Thing.
His entire run. It tied into his entire run.
I was very pleased with that one. But he also, and he did Superman Wonder Woman, which is another book he is writing.
Mm-hmm.
But he actually caught the Wonder Woman.
Yes, he did.
Because Azzarello is presumably busy, or didn't want to do it. And actually did like a two-part story.
Mm-hmm. Some of them are two parts, yes.
Which I didn't realize. And they're actually not billing it that way, mm-hmm. necessarily, which kind of was confusing. But what I loved about the Soul one is the art was kind of rough. The art was...
When you're putting out so many one-shots on top of your, you know, you're already full plate as an artist, it's... Sometimes you just got to get a feeling.
Yeah. But what I did like is they basically have the White Phoenix equivalent of Wonder Woman, the goddess of peace.
Which they did before.
Is that an old thing? I didn't know.
Yeah, like she was the god of peace.
Oh, okay. I didn't know.
Or the avatar of peace. Or blah, 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 blah.
So it's like a reference thing.
Yeah.
But it reminded me. And the other thing that was funny is if you look at the picture of her, her arrows, both above and below her waist, point to her waist or her crotch. So she has like these knee arrows that point up and these breast arrows that point down. So, it's kind of interesting. So now what is your, one of your favorites that you've read?
My favorite so far has been Swamp Thing.
Yeah. Okay. Beyond Swamp Thing, what else?
Constantine was all right.
Was it?
Because it gave you.
Lemire, is he still writing that?
I think, yes.
Okay.
No. It's Ray Fox.
Oh, okay.
Because it gave you like, Naboo stuff that we haven't gotten in like mainstream DC continuity. Like Fate has only showed up in like Earth 2.
Right.
But the way they spun it, I enjoyed it. It's just, Batgirl was great. You just gotta pick and choose.
Fox did the Batman Robin one. Where they have the Heretic, which is the Damian clone, looks like a terrorist or whatever. Like that played a role. And then I think the Batman one was by Tiernan.
Yeah, it wouldn't be surprised.
And both had sort of, actually that one I really liked because that one had future Batman going up against Lex Luthor or the Lex Luthor's like robot systems to try to get information about reviving a clone Damian. Like he was trying to find some serum or something. And that one was great. And then the Batman Robin one again dealt with the Heretic. Sort of, oh, and it had the black, I forgot his name, Robin, the Robin from Zero Year, or the guy Batman teams up with in Zero Year. Did you know?
No, I've read it. Okay, oh, yeah, the kid?
Yeah, but he's older now.
Oh, okay, so he's the new Robin?
Yeah, he's the new Robin.
Okay, I didn't read it.
That one was good. I mean, I think the first one was better, but I liked it, and I liked that it tied back into the Batman and Robin stuff. So
overall, I really like Azzarello as a writer. I think a lot of the stuff that he's writing, of course, you know, Wonder Woman, and a lot of the stuff that he has written for DC, I have thoroughly enjoyed. But we're 20 plus issues into Future's End, and I'm just like, I don't care. Like, I don't like it. It has all of the elements that I should like. Time travel, alternate timelines, like the characters that I really enjoy, like Constantine or, you know, Terry McGinnis, because I've read a lot of the Batman Beyond stuff, and I just don't care, and it hasn't gone anywhere.
Yeah.
And on the flip side, when you look at Batman Eternal has been great.
Yeah.
Like, every issue builds, there's resolutions to, like, certain aspects of the conflict. We're moving into a new direction with Catwoman. Like, all of that stuff has been fantastic. But when I look at Future's End, I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
It's a mess.
I mean, And they've put all their hopes on it because that's what everybody's tying into. But like you said, it's an alternate future. It doesn't matter. Matter in the sense of continuity. It's kind of just a what if. So, well, that's DC basically, because that's what's been going in DC. Marvel, I kind of had just a bullet about Axis because the first couple issues that have led into Axis are out. There's the Uncanny Avengers, which I liked.
Yes.
And then there's the Magneto, which I liked.
Loki hasn't come out yet. Has it?
Girl, I have not read a Loki Agents of Whatever in forever.
Okay, because here's the thing. Like, you know, I
liked it, but...
I get things in advance.
Yeah.
It's like, ooh, I need to read some of that tonight. Because I haven't finished.
Yeah.
There are some things that I read in advance.
Well, this isn't coming out for 2 weeks almost.
Oh, okay.
Because
we record this Friday tonight.
Well, we want to get out of the way. Anyway.
Yeah, I'm joking.
So have you read any of the Axis
stuff? I haven't read Axis.
But like the lead up.
But I've read pretty much all of the build up that leads to it.
Yep.
And it's Remender's first big event.
Right.
And so I don't get the feel of it. Like, for me, all of these pieces are very disparate.
Yes.
And I know that they're coming together, and I read something, like, I read the beginning. Uh-huh. Like, I know exactly, if you haven't been reading this or you want to read Axis, these are the, like, 2 to 3 issues that you need to read.
Right.
And it's pretty much Uncanny Avengers.
Which makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, which makes sense. And I like what he did. He did a twist on something that, you know, like, here's this issue and you need to resolve it. And so you need to be final about it. And when you're final about it, that's where the problem comes in. Hmm. Like, when you make that terrible decision.
Yeah.
You think that's where it ends, but it doesn't. And it kind of harkens back to his, well, I don't want to say anymore, but,
okay.
But like, that's cool. I just need to see where it goes. Like,
I'm curious where the inversion idea comes from. Has that shown up in anything?
Not yet.
Cause like, the way the marketing is, it's like good guys become bad guys become good guys. And they may all have their own separate reasons. They may have some common reason that unites them. I just don't see where it comes from or what's happening.
Mm.
But like all solicitations, it should intrigue you, not answer all your questions.
Mm.
I do enjoy the fact that you have the Red Skull with Xavier's brain, and he's going after Magneto, which is kind of a nice spin on the whole Nazi versus... I mean, that's cool. But then...
He's just compelled to do it because he has Xavier's brain.
Well, that could be. But then also, you have stuff going on with Havoc. Half of his face is melted off. So, as a consequence of what's come before. And he has this relationship with Janet because they're the only ones that remember what happened. But it's still very weird, and it's just a lot of, like, drama among
these
characters.
They're not the only ones who remember.
Oh, they're not?
Not okay. All of them. Like, Wanda doesn't remember because she died. Wolverine and Sunfire remember.
Yeah, because they were...
Janet remembers.
Right.
Thor remembers.
Oh, Thor does remember?
Yeah.
But Wolverine remember? I thought he was dead.
Well,
no, he's not dead yet.
Not dead yet. And this is what's curious to me, because he's showing up in all this Axis stuff from what I've seen so far. But, or not. Maybe that's what that whole he goes away thing. Anyway, the death of Wolverine, which is actually, I will say this, Death of Wolverine by Charles Soule and... not Hitch.
McNiven, sorry.
Is excellent.
Mm-hmm.
It is a completely standalone story. You don't have to know.
It's going to be a perennial. I'm going to be able to sell this trade till the sun burns out.
I mean, it's good. It's really, really good. It is exactly what you'd want in sort of like the death of a character. But this is actually in continuity, so it quote unquote matters and yada yada. But I mean, it's good. I have the first two issues if you want.
Do you have them on your Marvel app?
Yeah, they're all there.
Okay.
But I mean, it's, I've been enjoying that. I've been enjoying the build up, Axis.
I'm going to take my wallpaper.
Oh, that's nice. Little Thanos.
Yeah.
Nice. What I wanted to ask though is Oral, maybe not so much Jeff, but maybe tell me one of the best kept secrets of Marvel. Because Marvel's got its tent poles. The, you know, Avengers is doing its time runs out thing, which is also really good so far. Starting out that whole, was it 8 months later thing? Mm-hmm. Like, that's exciting, although it's kind of like 5 years later. Oh, we got to come back to Multiversity, too. I forgot.
Yeah, we'll double that.
Because I know Eric would be very disappointed if I don't explain what happened to him. Not that he'll listen to this, but, you know. No, so what's a book that people just don't think about, but Marvel's putting out and you recommend to people?
You know what? I will choose two.
Okay.
So everyone's going to be reading the new Thor, but you should have been reading Thor God of Thunder.
Of course.
Because it's been gorgeous. Yep. It's been action packed. It's funny. Mm-hmm. It's smart. And like, that's a run that I can get behind.
Absolutely.
Like, I really love Straczynski's stuff because that's where I came back in the
Thor. I like that a lot too.
Greg Pak's stuff was all right. It got kind of weird for me.
Yeah.
Matt Fraction's I didn't care for.
Space Thor.
Some good, some bad.
I should have liked it, but I didn't. But this Thor God of Thunder has been great. So definitely that. I've talked about how much I love, like, Hopeless's stuff with, Arena, Avengers Arena, yeah. And then Undercover. But really, I think Elektra. Elektra is really good. And I'm not a street level character. I don't particularly care for, like, Heroes for Hire or, like, and I don't read Daredevil. Like, it's just, there's not enough about Daredevil.
Did you read when Bendis or Brubaker were doing it?
I've read bits and pieces of it. And it's not against anything against Mark Waid. I've read a portion of his run, not a lot, but like, you know, 5 or 6 issues, and it's been really good. I don't
You're not
care
drawn
enough
to it.
But there's something about Elektra, art style, the continuing story that I've just really, really, like, highly recommend. It's doing something, not completely something new or different. It's just, I like the take. It's the same as Black Widow. It's the same as Punisher, but that formula really works.
Who's writing Elektra? Is it Noto? Or not Noto?
No.
Edmondson?
No.
He's doing.
Edmondson's doing.
Widow and,
Yeah, I cannot remember who's writing it. Or sure. Iron Fist. Iron Fist is very peculiar.
I haven't heard a lot about Iron Fist.
Iron Fist is very peculiar. So I would say those new books that are coming out.
Okay.
Those are really cool.
My picks, my recommendations, and these are the books I've actually been reading fairly recently. Charles Soule's She-Hulk,
mm-hmm.
with Polito on art, mostly, but not always, is excellent because it's funny. Like you said, it's kind of got a sense of humor. But it's about lawyers, but not, it's superhero stuff. I mean,
it's not entirely about lawyers, but, oh yeah, no, She-Hulk is great. Everyone should be reading
Hellcat's
that.
In it. I love Patsy.
Is it as good as, the Peter David stuff?
It's different.
It's different. It's
I think
very
it's
different.
Very good in a more modern sense.
Hmm.
Secret Avengers by Alex Cott. Alice?
That is Aless.
Aless.
Yeah. That's great.
I love, oh, the artist, he came to the store. Oh, crap, forgot his name.
Trad Moore?
Yes. His art style, and this will tie into the next book, is very, like sketchy.
On his Ghost Rider? Are you going to talk about Ghost Rider?
No, I wasn't going to go to Ghost Rider. But he's got a similar, very sort of, I'll tell you the name here in a second, but like, it's got a sketchy style. But the writing is really funny, because it's got MODOK. MODOK is the center of S.H.I.E.L.D., like the head scientist now. And all of the sort of things that MODOK and AIM would normally do being kind of used in S.H.I.E.L.D. with like Hawkeye and Widow and Coulson and Fury,
mm-hmm.
and Director Hill. Like, it's a spy book, but it's also like a space book.
Are they still doing the conceit with and this is keeping me in mind, I haven't read it since the first
they
couple issues.
Who they are?
Right.
No.
No.
That would drop with
they
the,
dropped that one?
Yeah. But it's funny, but it's good. It's fun. Similar style is Chris Somney on Daredevil.
Okay.
Daredevil has been amazing. And even if you don't like street level characters, what is nice about Daredevil is they will have like relationship-y sort of stuff. Like, cause he's got a girlfriend now and he's in San Francisco. Mm. He's got a law practice, but, he's also just being Daredevil. He's out. He's fully out. Everybody knows he's Daredevil.
He's back to that now?
Yep. And he has his girlfriend's father in this most recent issue say, hey, he's a book publisher. You know, not only cool, I'm glad, you know, they have a great dinner, they're getting to know each other, blah, 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 but I got a pitch or I got an offer. You know, let's do a Daredevil life story. Let's, you know, and so it's kind of real life-ish. But then you got the Purple Man, and the Purple Man's going out there impregnating a bunch of women and creating children.
You know, like he does.
And now he's got the Purple Army, like, of kids, like these creepy purple kids that basically can, like the Purple Man, control your mind. And they basically turn on their dad and get rid of him. And now the next issue, the title, which I love, it was Purple Rain. And it's going to be interesting because you have these kids who are sired by a psychopath and a control, you know, whatever. So, like, Daredevil's been fun. And what else? There's one more book I wanted to mention. Well, I guess coming out of Secret, or not Secret, Original Sin, Alice Cott is going to be writing the new Winter Soldier book.
Yeah, I read the first three pages of it, and then I totally, that's one of the things I need to read tonight.
I love his stuff because he's very heady. He's got a lot of referential stuff that sort of ties into philosophy.
Why does Winter Soldier go spacey?
At the end of, spoilers, by the way, at the end of Original Sin.
I was curious because I saw
which was so-so as an event.
It's a very personal event. Yeah. You need to read Original Sin. But it establishes that Nick Fury is not only the super spy,
right? He's also the protector of,
and basically Winter Soldier takes over for him.
So is Nick Fury Senior now dead?
No. Okay. You weren't here last episode, but we basically talked about it. He is the new Watcher, but not like cosmic. Just
right.
He's the unseen or whatever. He, yeah, whatever.
Okay, then.
He's still around, but he's sort of that
old crotchety guy still,
basically. So I'm very thrilled that he's going to be writing a Winter Soldier book, because I think the Winter Soldier is one of the stories that, like, is really cool, but when he's not Captain America...
Well, it's cool as it's the kinda, single story, and then after that's wrapped up, you're like, well, what do we do with you now?
Right, so that he's kind of taking this more cosmic role. I think it'll be good. This has not come out yet, but it's coming out soon. So those are... and one more, Ms. Marvel. This is actually a book that's really special because culturally... It shows I don't know what nationality there, but an Islamic family.
She's
Pakistani.
Pakistani, yeah.
And it deals with this new Miss Marvel, not Carol Danvers, but Kamala Khan,
who's an Inhuman.
She's an Inhuman, and she basically patents herself off Miss Marvel, and now has Lockjaw as her pet. So not only do you get the Lockjaw, which is awesome. But, you know, she is this Spider-Man sort of fish out of water. I don't know my powers. I got to learn. Da 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 da. And it's written with a little bit of a whimsy. It's got some manga influence and some of the visual stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just really nice to see a non kind of Caucasian American.
Anglo.
Yeah, Anglo-cultural perspective. Like, it's
a better attempt at doing this than the Green Lantern.
Simon Boz? Yeah.
Our Green Lantern has guns. Him.
They gave up on Simon Boz like a year in, like not even.
They're bringing him back.
Oh, I know they are, but it just kind of went away. But yes, like that. I do want to go back. Or
Multiversity.
So
I actually enjoyed the second issue.
Society of
Society
vaguely,
of Heroes.
Vaguely JSA. Society of Superheroes, vaguely. Yeah. But with what's his name? Vandal Savage from a parallel Earth.
He's
nice.
Oh, so he's an immortal
One. Well, there's a good Vandal Savage.
And then another parallel world, like they're like worlds colliding,
which
is kind of funny because there's, a CBR article about how Hickman and Morrison are kind of doing the same thing in different ways with an incursion, the whole, you know. But yeah, they have to fight Vandal Savage's, like, takeover of their world. And it's got Doc Fate. Who else was? The Black Hawks, but in a different kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot of these older DC sort of characters and
the
things,
JSA characters.
They're and Black Hawks and other ones, but like
World War II.
Ones that are more traditional, like old school. Like this is their world,
right?
And it introduces or it reiterates the idea that they can find out about other universes through the comic books, and that there is this book that is cursed. That if you read this book, and this is where the Morrison stuff, like, I don't know if we talked about it here. I know I talked about it in Comic Book Bears, but like idea of what is a cursed comic book. What does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
And they re-reference that. So it really ties it in some way. Oh, and then Nick Wotan, like, shows up at the very end as the super judge, this evil force for whatever that's invading the universe, the multiverse. But yeah, I liked it. It's a lot of fun, even if you're not reading Multiversity for the story, but you just want to dip in and try some of these worlds. I think based on these first two, it gives you a nice sort of what if sort of idea or else right. worlds. But if you are reading the whole story, it definitely does have connective, you know, elements.
Well, you know, and so many different books have tried something like that where they go into the, we want to make a serialized what if, but then also have an overarching story. And sometimes they pull it off, but a lot of times they seem to, they pull it off in the short term, and in the long term, it's just like, okay, well.
Well, the last one that I read that does this is Grant Morrison's Seven Soldiers. Did you ever read that?
No. Last one I read that did this was Exiles.
I need to lend you that. Seven Soldiers, when I read it individually, it made no sense, but I basically dipped in and out.
Mm-hmm.
But if you read Seven Soldiers in the order that is intended and like from beginning to end with the two capstones, it makes way more sense, and it does exactly that. It lets you do like a Clarion story or who is the Arthurian knight? Is it the knight?
Which one?
Well, the one that's actually a woman, but Oral, do you remember what I'm talking about?
Oh, the Golden Knight.
Golden Knight. Shining Knight.
Yeah, Shining Knight.
Like, that's one of them.
Okay.
And I forgot some of the other ones. Oh, Mr. Miracle. Yeah. But they all tie into this overarching thing. So he's done this before, and it worked well. I think when it's collected, it does.
But that was a limited run, right?
Yeah. Well, they're each story was like a 4-issue arc, and then they had a beginning issue and an end issue. Oh, and the Guardian, the guy with the Superman era, Golden Shield, actually pre-Superman, but they brought him back as Superman and stuff. Anyway, long story short, that's what Morrison's doing with Multiversity. It's over the course of how many months? We're on the second one. The next one, I want to say it's Thunderworld, which is the Shazam Captain Marvel stuff.
Hmm.
Which ought to be good. And he's doing a Watchmen one as well.
Really?
Yes. Like the same Charlton characters, but referencing not Watchmen itself, but sort of a sort of an alternate take on the Watchmen idea. So
I'm sure, what's his name? Mr. Moore will be thrilled. Yeah.
So anyway, if you're a Grant Morrison fan, or if you like the obscure DC stuff, this is a great book for you.
Yeah,
I'm glad you enjoyed the second one. Second one made a lot more sense as a self-contained story.
Mm.
Indie books, Low has been still pretty good. Black yes. Science is back. Deadly Class is back.
Black Science is barely back.
But they have two issues after the break.
Well, yeah, but I feel like for me it's very scattered. Mm. But yeah, no, both of those are good. Deadly Class, I love.
All the Remender stuff's been really good.
Uh-huh.
I have not gotten the latest issue of Satellite Sam, but I heard that they finally did the color thing. There's like a, because it's a black and white book, but there's a point at which black and white television gave way to color, and I guess in the book they do something with that.
Okay.
I gotta find that. But what? Oh, did you read The Prophet Strike File?
No, I didn't.
Holy
I'm behind
shit.
In Prophet.
If you want to know what the fuck's going on with Prophet, which is a trippy ass book, as we all, Oral and I know, you read that Strike File and it lays out everything. I was like, oh, really? That's what this is? Like, it kind of explained a lot in a way that I'm like, I should have probably realized this, but I didn't. And anyway,
I'm more than a year behind, so I'm gonna have to.
Yeah, that.
A while ago. I'm gonna have to sit down and pull through your Prophets because I love Prophet.
Yeah. No,
I love
it's
just, we get two copies.
I know.
And I always forget to read yours.
You can always, like,
I know.
Hold on to it and read it.
Birthright is coming. That's the new indie book that everyone needs to read, Birthright.
Oh, and I read the Annihilator book. Speaking of Morrison.
Yeah, how was it?
Great. It's, oh God, the artist's name. I can't think of it. He's got that painterly style. Hines. He did the Clarion one with Morrison and Seven Soldiers.
Okay.
I should look this up. I apologize. But it's excellent because imagine it like the screenwriter for, what was that movie about the black hole that turned everybody crazy?
Event Horizon?
Kind of like the Event Horizon screenwriter. holes up in this fancy house in L.A., has like a fucking orgy and goes crazy to try to write the screenplay, writes it, but then like finds out he's got an inoperable tumor and is about to die, or, you know, has like a, and so then the main character from the Event Horizon shows up, the one that goes crazy, and shows up and is like, hey, writer, we should talk, da 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 da. Like, it's the whole Morrison, the fiction is just as real as reality.
I have moments like that too.
Oh, do you?
Mm-hmm. I had a conversation with myself on Thursday.
Really?
Yeah.
How'd that go?
I'll tell you later.
Oh my, that's exciting. Like, to me, Morrison and somewhat Alan Moore's conceits that fiction is what you make of it and it can be more real than reality. All that, I love that. I eat that stuff up.
Is that so, a like, hyper-reality?
Kind of, yeah. It's sort of. But I mean, like, that is so cool to me, and Morrison is doing more of that. Frasier Hines. No. Frasier Irving.
Okay.
Frasier Irving. I love his art, first of all. I really, really, really dig his sort of painterly kind of... I don't even know what to compare it to, because even saying painterly doesn't give it justice, but excellent, excellent artist. And I forgot who's publishing it. It's a weird publisher. It's not Image. It's none of the big ones. But it's good. Annihilator. It just came out with the first issue. Yeah, I don't know what other indie books are that are driving us really right now. A lot of Image stuff's been pretty good.
The Image book. Oh shit, what is it? The Fade Out? It's great. Fantastic. If you love Brubaker,
I've only
Phillips,
read the first issue. Has there been a second one?
No, the second one hasn't come out.
Okay, yeah, I got the first
issue. It's coming now.
The Oversized, yeah, that we talked about that. Mm-hmm. That was really a good film noir sort of thing.
Yeah.
You know, I like
Copperhead?
Oh, how was that?
That was great. It was like, you know, it gives you a Firefly-esque feel of, okay, like this space travel is real, but it's still kind of Western.
Right.
And like you have this sheriff, you know, female sheriff who's moving to this planet and this town to be the law. And that was kind of cool.
East of West has been very good. It just kind of wrapped up a certain sort of arc,
mm-hmm,
and it's like kind of moving on to the next chapter. Manhattan Projects has been fun. I mean, that continues to be fun. Pretty much all the mainstays that are big. I don't know how well they're doing. Like, that's the thing you always wonder is, you know, I like it, but is anybody else actually reading this thing? Is anybody else like this? You know, this now is this amazing era where there's just so much good, diverse indie comics. What else? Anything else before we wrap up?
That's pretty much it.
Just waiting on those microsodes for all those shows that apparently were the only two people watching.
Well, I have Mark, a friend of ours from the show. I don't know if you ever met Mark. He's a guy who wrote Full Sail. Friend of ours. He's interested. We have a couple other guests. I heard back from Sassy Bear from Dragon Con. He and Jamie, the sci-fi authors guild, whatever, press person, she's interested. We may have a little sci-fi fantasy queer lit show.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very specific niche.
It is, but it kind of goes on our mission model or our mission statement. Oral is working on who we are going to have on for the next Dragon's New Spandex.
I'm working on it.
Very soon, any day now. We may even have a repeat customer or two. Actually, Divine Grace did say she'd like to come on, just be on a normal show.
Yay!
Because, I mean, she's geeky as we are, so, yeah, you know. Please feel free to go visit our Facebook page. I do want to talk about that too. So Facebook, Flame On Show, we always love interaction. We get people commenting on this and that post. It's great. We try to keep stuff updated. Even if it's not just our show, we'll share stuff that you might be interested in. I have not resorted to scantily clad Barra or other kind of art, but God, I'm getting close. Because I see like what our good friends at the X-Gays and how they get tons and tons and tons
of clicks,
likes. Holy crap. And it's because they put up just... Anyway.
Sex sells.
It does.
Jared, I need you to be our arbiter. I need you to be our curator of sexy guy pictures.
You know,
such.
I would love it.
I love your taste.
Yeah, oh, you do have good taste in that, so.
That is my dream job.
What? I know you got an internship and all, but feel
a free. Curator of porn.
Feel free to use Facebook for
can
that.
Can you be on those documentaries that I watch on Netflix about porn?
Sure. Okay.
Just do a you know, NSFW. Like,
there was one I saw, like, it was like what porn stars do after they retire, and one guy who came on an interview said, porn historian. How the fuck do you get that job?
Great gig.
What do you have to do to get that,
that
job?
That sounds prestigious, but I'm sure he makes, like, maybe $8,000 a year as a porn historian.
He, looks, yes, he also looks like he lives in, like, Leesburg.
Oh,
but still.
Hey, now, we know people in Leesburg.
In a double wide.
We know people there.
On a lake.
Flame On Podcast on Twitter. And basically, if you're on our Facebook, you're getting the same thing on the Twitter. It reposts. But occasionally, we will engage and reach out to our Twitter base and have people tweet at us, and we will tweet back.
I should start a Twitter account, huh?
You should just actually help out with the Flame On if you want to ease into the waters. Tumblr, of course, we do put stuff up on there occasionally. And all of our hosts have emails at Flame On Show. We are now on SoundCloud. If you have not been seeing all the craziness and you like SoundCloud, it is a great platform. They have an app. You can download stuff. It tells you when we put new content. All the Nerdy Show family shows are up there. So if you want to find any of the latest Nerdy Show stuff, go on SoundCloud or on nerdyshow.com. Of course, you can find us directly on flameonshow.com. That is our direct, like, home. But we're also on Nerdy Show. And two quick plugs, kind of. One, New York Comic Con is coming up the week of October 8th. That's the Wednesday. I and Pat will be up there for that. I will be a part of the Comic Book Bears live podcast recording at the Rock Bar on Wednesday night as part of the New York Comic Con Super Week, which is this big week-long festival of craziness. But it is free. We are giving away stuff. Rock Bar is a fun little bear bar. If you've never been, it's on Christopher Street. And we're going to be doing a live recording of Not Flame On, although I will bring, of course, my Flame On presence to the show, as I always do. But we'll be doing Comic Book Bears, my other show. And then we will actually also be at the convention on Thursday. So if you are at New York Comic Con Thursday, come by the Geeks Out booth. I'll be there with Jono and Joey and Patrick and all the other
shout
Geeks
out Geeks Out.
Yep, we'll be there helping them out. They have a panel that night. I think it's like 6 or 7 o'clock on Thursday, and it is for queer LGBT comic book characters. So hopefully we'll be there at the very least, if not a part of that. And that's pretty much all we'll be doing that week. We're actually leaving because Orlando Gay Pride is that following weekend. That like immediately.
Yeah, whatever.
And well, listen, you can come see Lil Kim. She'll be there.
I'm probably. I don't know. I'm in that weird stage where I'm just like, I don't want to go to Pride.
I don't blame you.
Sorry, you mentioned Lil Kim. I keep thinking back to that one time when it's her and was it Janet Jackson? Or it's the.
Oh no, that was Tina Turner.
Yeah.
Diana Ross.
You sure?
Is that what it was?
Who did the titty lift?
Well, yeah. Janet Jackson had
the pasty.
The pasty, okay.
You're right.
Yeah. Thank you.
Man, she aged hard.
Hush your filthy goddamn mouth.
The only
about who,
Lil thing...
Kim?
Oh, we talking about Lil Kim? Okay.
Yeah. Miss Ross aged fine.
Okay,
Kim aged
I was just
hard.
Like, what do you want?
And as we bring the show to a screeching halt, I do want to put a shout out because my Pekingese I've had for 15 and a half years, Emperor Unagi Noko, which is his full name, we had him put to sleep today because he was getting old. But
he was. May he rest in peace.
He is a dear, dear part of my life, and I am very sad to see him go, but I am very honored that he has lots of memories with many of my friends and family and some great videos and pictures that'll be up on Facebook. So if you are curious, if you are a dog person and you would like to see a little bit about one of the biggest parts of my life in the last 15 years, Unagi will be enshrined and memorialized across the ages. I hope maybe someone to maybe even make a meme out of him somehow. I don't know. Crazier things have happened, certainly. Of course, we want our cat Odin to become the next Grumpy Cat, but that's a whole other thing. You know, someday.
I can see Odin becoming the next Stoner Cat. He has that look on his face.
He does have that sort of look. Anyway, so I guess on that sort of sad downer, we'll hopefully see some of you guys up in New York, and if not, in a couple weeks for our next installment of Flame On. Thank you for listening, and flame off.
Thanks for listening to Flame On, a podcast made possible by Powder Milk Biscuits, the ones in the blue box, a comic shop, and the generous support of tops and bottoms like you. If you want to be one of our sugar daddies, you can help out by telling a cute single friend about us, reviewing us on iTunes, or putting some dollars down our digital G-string in our monthly support drive. For more ridiculously entertaining and socially enlightening episodes of Flame On, as well as other fine programs, head on over to nerdyshow.com. You can subscribe to Flame On and all Nerdy Show Network podcasts via iTunes. And be sure to find us on Twitter at Flame On Podcast or Facebook on our Flame On fan page. And make sure to check out flameonshow.com for more nerdy queer in your ear.
I am gay for Lee Pace now.